Hello and welcome in to Locked On Wolves. We are live following the Timberwolves loss to the Charlotte Hornets. Marnie Gellner of Bally Sports North joins the show to break down the game. The Locked On Wolves postcast starts right now.
You are Locked On Wolves postcast, part of Locked On Sports Minnesota. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome into the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Marnie Gellner of Bally Sports North is with us to talk through the Timberwolves' loss to the Hornets on Friday. And Marnie, this was in some ways a roller coaster of a game. There were some really good things in the first half, I guess typically brutal third quarter for the Wolves, and then some strong play in the fourth when they got down 14, but then some backbreaking possessions at the end of the game. That's my biggest thing with this one is it was just really up and down throughout.
It was very inconsistent, yes, and that is very different than what we saw from the Timberwolves at Indiana the game before. And just when you think you've broken out of old habits, the third quarter slump comes back. The Wolves were outscored by 18 tonight in the third quarter, and that made a huge difference in the game.
Yeah, third quarter was a major issue earlier this season. It felt like they had kind of righted the ship in that regard lately, but that was a huge problem in this game. In a lot of ways, it was some of the same issues we've seen in many of the games the Wolves have lost this year. A lot of missed open shots, especially in that second half and third quarter specifically, where it almost kind of became contagious. Defensive rebounding, again, a problem. It had been improving. I talked about this on the show, on the Locked On Wolves show on Friday, is that the Wolves were like 29th in defensive rebounding 10 days ago, and they were all the way up to 24th. We'd seen some real progress over this winning streak, and I certainly the two, there's a correlation there. But the Timberwolves were out rebounded in this game by, I think, 10. Yeah, by 10 rebounds. Gave up 15 offensive rebounds to Charlotte. That was a major issue. And like the third quarter, you mentioned it, 39 points to give up in a quarter is way too much to a team in the Hornets that came into the game 30th in offensive rating, dead last in the league, and also 30th in effective field goal percentage. You pick your shooting category of choice, your shooting percentage category. They were bottom three coming into the game in the league, and Wolves gave up 39 points in the third.
Yes, and when you're talking about the rebounds too, it's the number of rebounds, yes, but it's also the timing of the rebounds. Like on that last Charlotte possession, when ultimately was that the one that ended with the free throws? But so as PJ Washington ended up at the free throw line, but the Wolves couldn't get a rebound. They got the block. Rudy Gobert had a tremendous block, and the ball just kind of went loose for a minute, and Charlotte grabbed it. And then there was immediately a missed shot by Charlotte from the baseline, and they got the offensive rebound there. So it was like, you can survive being out a lot of things to a team like Charlotte, but sometimes it's the timing of them that you can't have them there. Not get the rebound there.
Right. The last possession was in a lot of ways a microcosm of the game because it was, they allowed, you know, dribble penetration that was a little bit too easy for the situation. And then Rudy came up with a great block. There was a scramble. The Hornets got the ball back. And then there was another stop, you know, a missed shot, a pretty good contest on the shot, which I thought the Wolves for the most part did a good job contesting shots for much of the game. And then an offensive rebound and a foul, which we saw a lot of too, especially in the third quarter of this game. So all of those things were issues in the third quarter. The Wolves got down 14 in the fourth, pushed back, made this thing a one possession game. And then all of those same issues cropped up on that last possession by Charlotte, like you mentioned, almost one after another, because there were some really good things really throughout the game, except for at times in the third, which again, a lot of that was foul issues. They were fouling a lot, but some really good defensive possessions in the fourth quarter, really locked in. D'Angelo Russell, there was that one possession where D'Lo got a block at the rim. And then I think Towns got a block. There was a loose ball that the Wolves grabbed or a deflection after that. So a couple of blocks, a deflection, and then they go back the other way in transition. You had D'Angelo Russell diving on the floor, getting strips and deflections. Towns had active hands really throughout the game, crisp rotations defensively. There were some issues on the perimeter early in the game. Ant got beat a few times. They weren't fighting through screens early third quarter as well. But for the most part, I thought the defensive effort was there. It wasn't the initial attack. It was actually securing defensive rebounds was the bigger issue.
Yeah, and I thought D'Angelo Russell actually played a pretty good game. because we don't often talk about him being the guy diving for loose balls, and he was diving for loose balls in the backcourt tonight at key moments. Jordan McLaughlin was not available for the second consecutive game. He's got a calf issue. So more D'Lo, more Austin Rivers, who did not have a great game tonight, but there were signs from D'Angelo Russell of being a much more engaged and aggressive version of himself, which is good to see. And Rudy Gobert, I thought, had a pretty good game, 17 points, 17 rebounds. So there were parts of this that were good. Like the Rudy thing I thought was important because he played really well in Indiana. He played decently individually here in Charlotte. And those games came on the heels of the Miami game where he statistically went 0 for 0 from the field. So I thought just having two Rudy recovery games, if you will, by Rudy himself and by his teammates, figuring out how to get in the ball, when to get in the ball, how to utilize him, all was important in these last couple of games. But on a night when Karl Anthony Towns goes 1 of 11 from three, like he's a career 40% three-point shooter. That is not going to happen very often. But you can't put the blame on a game like this there. You have to say, okay, we're a good enough team that our best shooter can go 1 for 11 from three. We as a team can go 1 for 12 from three in the fourth quarter, because that's what Minnesota did. 1 of 12 from three in the fourth quarter. Ugh. Yet they were still, in the last possession of the game, still, or last couple possessions, had a chance to win. And that's where you have to be able to overcome those really rare outlying shooting nights. You have to be able to overcome it by doing X, Y, or Z, a little more rebounds, a little less turnover, a little more diving for loose balls, whatever it is. But the Wolves didn't. They did not have that tonight. Chris Finch was not happy with just the effort and the focus, and especially coming out of halftime. It was like, they kind of sleptwalked through the third quarter. How do you, they got outscored by 18, leading by 10, trying to pile another win onto a 5-game losing streak. You can't let that happen, and the Wolves let it happen.
Yeah. And like you said, there's no excuse. And especially against the team, we said this a little bit ago, they're the worst offensive team in the league by almost any measure. And the Wolves let them hang a 39 and a quarter on them, which just can't happen. I want to get into a little bit Cat's night, as well as some of the, I guess some positives that happened, what went well offensively for the Wolves, all that here next. First of all, let's talk about our presenting sponsors from the show, and that is BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur sports league out there, from basketball to football to soccer and esports. They've got it all at BetOnline.net. This was a game where the Wolves were absolutely favorites. I didn't actually see what it was, but a few points, I'm sure, with no LaMelo Ball in Charlotte. And of course, they came up short, but you can get all your betting action, college football Saturday, of course, NFL football Sunday, over at BetOnline. If you love sports podcasts, you can also find those at BetOnline. They're the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right. So related to Karl Anthony Towns, this was kind of another, I think, a kind of weird Towns game, because I thought he played well in the first half. He just missed. He actually passed up a couple of open shot opportunities that, you know, he had three pointers that he could have shot. He pump faked himself into a drive, which is fine at times, but lately, and really even going back to last year, Towns has really been driving to set up his 3-point shot more than the other way around. And it was almost like at halftime, the Wolves were like, hey, you got to let it fly more. He was like, I don't know, 1 of 3 or something in the first half on threes. I think he made his first one. And then he missed all of his 3-point attempts in the second half. And he was letting it fly often. Like you said, he's a career 40% 3-point shooter. You would expect more than 1 out of 11 to go down. And I'm sure we'll have a course correction here. He'll get hot one of these nights. He was not super active on the glass. He had some more foul issues, not moving his feet super well. So that came up in this game a little bit. And you talked about Rudy. I thought he played well. He had some issues catching the ball on some passes from D'Angelo Russell in this game, although I think that chemistry is starting to iron out. So the points in the paint, the Wolves are actually a minus. I think they were a -4, if I'm not mistaken, points in the paint, something in that neighborhood, a couple of possessions. And we're used to them dominating that category. And that was one of the big issues in the third quarter. And you know, Rudy and Kat were certainly part of that, but just weird for them to lose the points in the paint battle.
Yeah, and coming off of the game in Indiana where the Wolves had a season high in points in the paint, 74, I think that's the third highest all-time Wolves total too. So especially when you when you put in that context, like the game before, they had 74 paint points. Well, that's not what you should expect every night, but it was like that. That was sort of a template to show you what this Timberwolves team can do, that game in Indiana. And tonight they didn't really look like that same team. And of course, every team's going to play you differently. I don't expect it to come out carbon copy like that. But there are certain areas that you should be able to have a pretty good handle on and maybe not dominate, but win on certain nights. And I would hope that is one of them, especially when you play a team without a dominant center. So I guess I wouldn't consider Mason Plumlee a dominant center. So I would have thought those numbers would have been higher. But in a game like this for Carl, I feel like when he's that off from three, it might have affected his just overall demeanor or thought process, or I'm not exactly sure how the trickle down is, but it is not something he's used to having to deal with, not to that extent. I mean, 1 of 11 from three that's got to be a career low. I didn't run his career numbers during the game, but Jim Peterson, you mentioned this, Ben talked about it in the broadcast in the first half, that Carl had been passing up 3-point opportunities, and he did not pass them up in the second half, but he also didn't hit him. And you could kind of see a little more like slowing down, aiming, taking that extra breath, that extra second or whatever to try to line this shot up. And it almost was like that was counteractive. But Carl's too good of a shooter for that not to correct itself. I just wonder if having a night like that, missing those shots at those times, might have trickled down into the rest of his game, whether it was consciously or not consciously.
Yeah. And that we've seen that with Towns before with foul trouble and things like that, where he can let one part of his game affect the other parts of his game. And he's played so well lately. So this was surely an outlier for him. D'Angelo Russell on the flip side bounced back nicely, or I guess he did play well Wednesday, but from a turnover perspective, like Wednesday, the only issue we talked about, the Wolves overpassing on Wednesday, they had, you know, 20, whatever turnovers, and combined Towns and Russell had 10 turnovers Wednesday. In this game, the Wolves still turned it over too much, and they were still pretty sloppy with the ball, especially in the first half. It was the primary reason that they were only up 10 at halftime. I mean, they had a 10-point halftime lead. It probably should have been 15, 18 points, but for turnovers, and it was more of a team-wide issue. Like, the Wolves had 16 turnovers as a team. They had six players with two or more turnovers individually, and nobody had more than three. So it was again, like, there were mistakes of aggression. They were trying, you know, head manning passes flying out of bounds. There were a couple, you know, too fancy type passes in the open floor that didn't need to happen the way that they did. But this was more just general sloppiness. And you mentioned earlier, Finch being upset. They didn't seem like they didn't come to play. I think Mike Anori mentioned this, the assistant coach, after halftime as well, that it just, like, there was like a turkey hangover at the start of the game. And then that same thing happened in the third quarter. Another kind of key we talked about on Wednesday, could the Wolves take a 5-win team seriously on Friday, missing their best player, also missing Gordon Hayward, also missing, you know, Dennis Smith Jr. Like, this is a team that was shorthanded and they weren't good anyway. And the Wolves kind of came out and took a win for granted, I think. And they ended up with a 2-point loss.
I mean, it is something that this team has done in the past. So I wouldn't be shocked if that was part of it. They were up 10 at halftime. So I don't know if a little bit of relaxation, breathing easy, complacency settles in at halftime, because you've done half the work and you can see, and actually Chris Finch was really upset about the late in the second quarter as much as he was about the third quarter, because he said he thought they had a real chance to completely blow the game open in the second quarter and didn't. So he was as frustrated with the second quarter as he was with the third. And the third is when the Wolves were outscored by 18. So I don't know if they got into halftime and just kind of felt like, we're clearly better than this team. We just, you know, you just kind of go through the motions in the second half and it might not be pretty, but we'll head home and get a win. And then we'll get up again on Sunday because we have the defending champs. I would guess there's nobody on that team that's going to tell you that's what happened. And maybe it's just a subconscious thought process, but it sure looked like it played itself out that way, because there were some lackluster moments in that second half, in particular in the third quarter, where the life and the juice just weren't there.
Yeah, everything that we saw Wednesday in the most encouraging, enjoyable performance, probably the best overall win of the season, the opposite happened on Friday at times. And you mentioned taking on the defending champs. Golden State Warriors are in town for a 2:30 matinee on Sunday, 2:30 Central. And Golden State is just 1-9 on the road. They're 9-10 overall. They have won 3 out of the last 4 games, including their only road win, which was at the Houston Rockets. So, I mean, this is certainly a winnable game. And the front half of a back-to-back as well. So an important game for the Wolves to try and win. We'll, of course, go live following that game on Sunday as well with the live postcast on the Locked On Sports Minnesota YouTube channel. And you can listen to this as well after the fact on Locked On Wolves audio feeds. A big thank you for watching or listening. And we'll catch you next time. We'll see you Sunday after that game.